Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
It is actually my honor to get to speak to you. So wherever you are, whether you're at home in your living room, whether you're driving a car, listening to a podcast, or whether you're on an exotic island enjoying the sun, we're in the middle of a series here at Soul Church called the Freedom Series. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. We want to see you move from being free to free indeed. And last week, if you missed last week, with our senior pastor, Chantel. Man, what a powerful message. She preached a message she's lived out called Freedom Through Forgiveness. And man, if you missed it, don't just listen to it yourself, but spread it far and wide. Send it to people. What an incredible message that was. I watched it with friends. We did it a little different last week. We sat around a breakfast table and we actually had one of those posh breakfasts. We had smoked salmon. We had avocado, freshly ground coffee. And at the end of the table, we stuck on the laptop. You know, what a great way to watch church. We have this little hashtag. We call it Never Alone. Our heart as a church is that you'd never be alone. And we want you to watch church with your family, with your group. So why not make some plans for next week and watch it Never Alone? Hey, I'd love to pray for you. So wherever you are, why don't you just open your heart in this moment? Even if you knew you've never prayed before, this can be a moment when God starts to speak to you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that in the next few moments, as we open our hearts and focus our minds, Lord, that you would speak to us and change us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On a Monday night in July of 1986, I'm 16 years old and my mom comes home after visiting her mom in hospital. Now, my mom is a resilient lady. If you know her, you'd say, man, she is an overcomer. She's positive. She's a life giver. She's been through a lot in life with strength and grace. She's usually the life and soul of the party. And when she walks into a room, she often lights it up. But this night was different. My mom sat in the corner, disengaged and uncharacteristically quiet. The news isn't good. This is a picture of my Nana. And she's in the hospital in her 70s. An ulcer has burst in her stomach and poison has poured into her body. The doctors have done what they can. They've operated, but they tell my mom that her mom is unlikely to make it. My Nana is in a dark place, in intensive care, in a coma. And my mom is facing that reality that her mom is about to die. The next morning, she goes into hospital with my dad, expecting to say her goodbyes. But as she walks into that hospital ward, to her amazement, my Nana is propped up, sat upright, and incredibly eating some breakfast. My mom and dad can't believe the absolute transformation. She looks completely different. And my Nana starts to tell my mom what's happened. A few days earlier, before her surgery, my Uncle Peter, an ordained Anglican minister, visited her and gave her a little cross, which was by her bedside. When my nana slipped into the coma, she described being in this dark place, literally for days. She described in great detail the thick, tangible darkness and this horrible smell. And it all seemed hopeless until in the distance she saw a little chink of light. And so here's what she did. She took hold of that little cross in her mind and she, for some reason, she held it up to the light. And she said over the next few days, the more she held it to the light, the more the light began to slowly fill the room. Amazingly, over the next few days, that light filled the room until eventually there was no darkness left. She found herself in this amazing place full of bright light and vibrant colors. Next to Nana's bed was a bedside table, and on it was a small bottle of perfume. She pointed to it because the perfume had a little silver top, and she said, the colors in this place were 1,000 times brighter than that silver. She literally described it in incredible detail. She said there was beautiful singing, and then she followed the crowds, and in the distance she saw a throne. And she walked up to the throne, and she said, I just knew who was on that throne. She said, I knew it was Jesus. She described around the throne brightly colored stones that sparkled like emeralds. My dad, who, man, if you knew my dad, he's like an encyclopedia of the Bible. As my dad listened to this story that she described in vivid detail, he said, that sounds just like the book of Revelation, chapter 21, the throne room of God. He reached over, found the Gideon's Bible. He opened it up to Revelation 21, and he started to read. In verse 5, it says this, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Let me just pause it there. Some of you are in a dark place, maybe even right now, and God wants to speak to you. And I pray your ears would tune into that voice from the throne. And he's saying, behold, this morning I will make all things new. He can do it, friend. He can do it in your situation, whatever you're going through. This throne room, it got my nana's attention. My dad continued to read. You can read the whole chapter yourself. It said, talking about the city of God, it says, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned, verse 19, with all kinds of precious stones. The first was jasper. The second was sapphire. Then chalcedony. And it describes these colorful stones. My nana got excited. Her eyes started to dance. She said, that's it. That's where I've been. What's amazing about this story is my nana was not a Christian. She wasn't a believer. To our knowledge, she'd never read the book of Revelation. But as my dad read it, she recognized the details because she believed. She'd been to heaven. What an amazing story. She was literally transformed through that experience. She came out of the hospital. She lived for 2 more years. She would read her Bible every day. She would tell everybody she came into contact with about this place called heaven. Members of our family literally got saved and came to Christ and are still believers. Love what it says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, it says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And normally we stop reading there, but it goes on in verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, Steve, well, I wish I knew it with that conviction that your nana had. Maybe at the moment you're going through A life that's, to be honest, pretty dark. Maybe you can identify with that dark place my Nana was in. Maybe you identified with my mom who was sat in the corner, so discouraged, so depressed, and so full of fear. Maybe you're scared for your future, scared because of a health report. Maybe fear has taken a hold of your life. Friend, I pray that through this message you will hear a voice from the throne room. God speaking right in to your situation, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to me. And so what I'm going to do in the next few minutes that we have together is I'm going to unpack four elements from my Nana's story. You say, why those four elements? Because each of those four elements appear in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Here they are: darkness, the throne, number two, number three, the cross, and number four, light. I'm only going to keep you a few moments, so fasten your seatbelt, dig into your salmon and your avocado, and here we go. All right, number one, let's start with the first element. It was darkness. That's right. Thought we'd get the negative stuff out of the way. Number one, the world can be a dark place. I don't need to tell you that. Maybe like my Nana, you're in a dark place today. Maybe this week has been a tough week for you. I know Pastor John on Eternity Sunday, he talked about the fact that people's number one fear is the fear of death. Sometimes it's the fear of dying yourself. Sometimes it's the fear of what's going to happen to a loved one. Maybe it's fear of the future or fear of a health report. I mean, during this COVID season, just personally in my wider family, I've lost two members of our family. I lost my Uncle Ian about 2 months ago, and this week I got a call late at night. My Auntie Joan passed away in a nursing home. I think we all know we live in a world with plenty of darkness. But into this world of darkness, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, it starts with this. I love this. It says, Revelation 1 verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things which must take place. Right at the beginning of the book of Revelation, what's it about? People will give you all kinds of answers. Well, it's about the mark of the beast. It's about the end times. Let me tell you what the book of Revelation is all about. It tells us itself. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is to break open who he is, to unmask him so you can see the truth of who Jesus is. You know, it's really important that we don't focus on the darkness. We focus on the truth of who Jesus is. What consumes your mind controls your life. You have to think about what you think about. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Friend, don't dwell on the darkness. When it comes to reading the book of Revelation, don't dwell on the darkness. When it comes to the media that you consume, don't dwell on the darkness, the latest reports about the virus. Because remember, what you've got to think about what you think about. So I don't get fixated with the darkness, the plagues, the beast, some wacky theory or conspiracy theology. Don't allow those things to distract you from what this book is really all about. It's a revelation of Jesus and who he is and all the authority that belongs to him. That was number one, the darkness. Number two, are you still with me? Number two, are you ready for this? The throne. In the middle of the darkness, my Nana saw a throne. It was that throne which dominated her vision of heaven. If there's one element, one symbol that dominates the book of Revelation, it's this, the throne. In Revelation 1, we find out this book is about Jesus. In Revelation 2 and 3, he writes a letter to the seven churches. But then, as we step into the apocalypse itself, in chapter 4, we are introduced to, guess what, a throne room. And he takes us right in. Friend, that ought to encourage you. Because whatever darkness you're in, whatever challenges you are facing, sometimes you've got to lift up your eyes and see that Jesus is still on the throne. Cancer is not on the throne. Your financial situation is not on the throne. The good news this morning or tonight is that Jesus is still on the throne. Hope you're getting excited about that. Don't be dribbling your salmon everywhere, all right? He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It may not seem like it. It may not feel like it. Friend, the enemy is not on the throne. Jesus is still there. And this is where it gets fascinating. Are you ready for this? As we drill down into this throne room scene, we find things we never expected. I love the book of Revelation. Let's look at it, Revelation 4, 1 to 3, real quick. Still with me? Come on, give me a smile. Give me a big smile. I can't see you, but I'll feel it. There we go. All right, Jesus for Jesus. There we go. All right, Revelation 4, 1 to 3. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, man, did you know Pastor John, by the way, used to play the trumpet? It would have been nice to have had him at this moment playing the trumpet, but he's on holidays. And him and Chantel, they send their love. They land tonight. They can't wait to be in church preaching next week. All of that from the trumpet. There was a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place. Sometimes you've got to get out of your situation and you've got to go with Jesus because he wants to show you what lies ahead. He says, immediately I was in the spirit and behold a throne set in heaven and one sat on the throne. Listen to this. And he who sat there was like jasper and a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne. Think about this. In heaven, there's a throne. What does it look like? There is a rainbow. However dark, however fierce the storm, God has put a rainbow. The sun is going to shine again. Of course, many of you know your Bibles, that if you go back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we find that God put a sign in the earth to remind the earth that he would never again destroy the earth. Thank God that Noah found grace in his eyes. And thank God that even back from Genesis and right now in Revelation, thank God that that rainbow spans the whole of Scripture. God is a God of grace. And yes, he's a God of judgment, but who's glad that his mercy triumphs over his judgment? At the throne, there's a rainbow. A rainbow. I love that. We can live free from fear, free from the freedom of the fear of death because of that rainbow. It speaks of his grace. I talked about the first words of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus. Does anybody know what the last words of Revelation are? If you do, write it in the chat. All right, if you don't, let me give it to you. Revelation 22, verse 20. The last few words in the book of Revelation. Are you ready for this? The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. I love that. The book of Revelation starts with a picture of Jesus. It ends with his grace. My prayer is that grace would have the last word in your life, in your situation, whatever you're going through. He's a God of grace. Maybe you're new to church. You say, Steve, help me out. I have no clue what grace means. Let me describe it to you this way. There's three ways you can treat a person. Number one, less than they deserve. Number two, as they deserve. Number three, better than they deserve. How will God judge you on that last day? Will he judge you less than you deserve? Well, no, because God's fair. He's just. He's true. So it's not going to be less than you deserve. You'd expect him to treat you as you deserve because he's a fair God. But I've got good news for you.
you little tinkers. The good news is he doesn't treat you as you deserve. Is anyone grateful for that? Thank God he treats you way better than you deserve. And that's grace, because he loves you. He wants to save you. So grateful for his grace around that throne. He treats you better than you deserve. And one day we will all stand before his throne. But listen, the throne room is available, not just when you die, but throughout your life. Because in Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Single mom, if you need help, his grace is there. Single dad, if you need help, he's there for you. Whatever the color of your skin, he's there for you. His grace is available to you. I love that. Remember, I said there's a couple of unique things about the throne. I've given you one, it's a rainbow. Let me give you number two real quick. If you were to go to a throne, what would you expect to see? Who would you expect to find seated on a throne? You'd expect a king or a queen. Someone powerful, someone opulent. Someone like Mark Hollinger, for example. If you look at a throne, you expect to find a king or a queen. But who do you find on this throne in heaven? In Revelation 5, it says, I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Not power, not authority, but a lamb as though it had been slain. Vulnerability, brokenness. And that's what sits on the throne in heaven. On the throne is a lamb, not what you'd expect. There's a rainbow and a lamb. Number one was darkness. Number two was the throne. Number three, it speaks of the cross. You expect a king or a queen, but there's a lamb who was slain. Where was he slain? He was slain on the cross. That's the great mystery of the gospel. Jesus didn't ascend to heaven because of his power. No, he went to a cross, not because of his love for power, but because of the power of his love for you. I mean, how amazing. The angels saw him in heaven and they thought, how can this be? How can God become a man and leave heaven and go to earth? And John the Baptist saw him and he said to everyone, get ready, here he is. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Friend, he came to die. He came because he loved you. He came to rescue you and to save you. No matter how dark the darkness, the cross will take you to the light. I looked on the throne and there was a lamb. There was a lamb. Jesus came to die in our place, to do on our behalf all of the things that we cannot do. And on the cross, Jesus defeated the darkness. On the cross, he defeated the devil. And on the cross, he defeated death. He took death upon himself on the cross. But thank God, 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he defeated death so that you can have life. How great is the gospel? Church, let's never forget it. We're Soul Church. We're ambassadors of this great gospel. We're going to take it to our workplaces, take it this week to our schools and our colleges. How amazing is Jesus? Around 30 years ago, I preached a story for the first time, and back then we didn't have Google, so I never fact-checked it. And it's such a great story, I'm too scared to fact check it just in case it's not true. So I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Is that all right? Because it's an awesome story. I love this story. And I'm sure some of you will fact check it. But anyway, it goes like this. There was an Olympic diver. He was very successful. He won the gold in Olympic tournaments. He was well known. He could do all kinds of maneuvers. And he'd become so successful. He was prosperous. He had a beautiful house. He had a great family. He even had an indoor pool and diving boards in his basement. One night he was lying in bed, tossing and turning. He couldn't sleep. Despite the fact that on the outside he had everything, on the inside something was missing. Friend, let's not make sure we don't just accumulate things that we hope will make us happy on the inside, but the truth is, on the inside, you were meant to know God. You were meant to have relationship with Him. And this Olympic diver, he has everything externally, nothing internally. He's tossing and turning in the early hours. He decides to get up. He's struggling. He goes out of the house into the basement. He doesn't even turn on the lights. He's done it 1,000 times. He walks up to the first, the second, onto the top diving board. All of the time he's wondering about what's missing in his life. What does he need? And he walks up to the edge of the diving platform. And he stretches out his hand and prepares to dive. And behind him the moon shines through a window and it casts a shadow onto the far wall. And he sees a picture of the cross. And all of a sudden he remembers the stories that he heard in Sunday school of how God loved him so much that he sent his son to die on a cross. And right there and then, he steps back from the diving board. He gets down on his knees and he prays to God. He has such an encounter with God in that moment. He wants to go and tell his family, so he walks down the steps. He's about to walk into the house. He walks past the swimming pool. And he notices that the pool has been drained of all water. And if he'd have dived, he would have dived to his death. He was saved by the cross. Friend, how can we approach the throne of God? Not because we're good people, not because we're God-fearing people. The only way you can get right with God is to acknowledge that He died for you in your place. And that's why my Nana, as she held up the cross, she went from darkness to light. Friend, if you want to get right with God, it doesn't matter what you've done, how good or how bad you've been. It's not about how good you are. Thank God, it's all about how good He is. Darkness. A throne. A cross. And then light. Revelation 21, 22, I saw no temple, and it's speaking about heaven, for the Lord God and the Lamb are its temple. Verse 22, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. Listen to this. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in the light. How do you go from darkness to light? How do you walk through the pain of this COVID season? You simply got to keep walking in the light. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to the One, and from His throne room into the darkness of our existence, He shines His light. And here's the promise for your life. I'm going to finish with this last scripture. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It's saying you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Friend, God wants to call you out of the darkness and into His light. He's calling you. He's talking to you right now, wherever you are in this moment. Whether you're listening to me with headphones, whether you're watching me on a screen, the voice of God is speaking to me, to you, and he's calling you, and he's saying, come out of that darkness. Come and live with me. Come and walk with me. I've got a great future for you. Why would you want to live in the darkness when you can live in the light? Oh, I'm preaching, I'm getting fired up, but let me make this really personal to you, friend. God loves you. He doesn't want you to live in the darkness. He wants you to come to his throne. You can know his grace, his forgiveness for your past, and he'll give you an incredible hope for your tomorrow. You, Steve, how do I get right with God? My friend, it's simple, but it's powerful. You pray a prayer in your heart. You say, Jesus, thank you for what you did for me on the cross to cleanse me, to forgive me. I need you. I can't do this life alone. Maybe you feel like you're that diver that's struggling with an emptiness. Maybe you're like my mom in the corner of that room that just needed someone to lift her. Friend, whether this is the first time or whether you once walked with him but you've drifted away, he still loves you. His arms are still outstretched for you. And I would love to pray a prayer for you, to lead you back into relationship, to give you a new start. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. So right there in the privacy of your living room, or running along that dirt track, or listening in your car, you pray this prayer in your heart and mean it. And Jesus will come in and he'll transform me. This is that first step in that journey. So you pray this prayer after me. It'll change your life, friend. Dear Jesus, I need you. The darkness is pressing in. I need your light. Would you come in? Would you forgive me? Would you hold me? And I will live for you, Lord, to the best of my ability. From this moment on, with you as my Lord, from this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer from your heart and you meant it, that is the greatest decision you've ever made. Those are the most powerful words you've ever prayed, the best thoughts you've ever thought. You just took that first step. It's awesome. I'd really encourage you to take a couple more steps. Number one, let someone know. You'll see details on the screen of how you can email us or contact us, just so we can encourage you. Secondly, get a Bible. We do it online these days. You can download it. There's details on the screen. Download a Bible app. Start to read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the New Testament. Get to know Jesus. And then thirdly, keep tuning in. God has so much for you, friend. He'll speak to you and encourage you. And right now, I want to just, before I hand back to Joseph, is going to come talk to us about our giving. I want to pray for anyone who's feeling fearful, especially the fear of death. I want to encourage you, it's a throne of grace, friend. He only wants the best for you. When you come to him, there's grace and help. So just open your heart and let me pray. Lord, I pray for anyone that's fearful right now. Are there any young people afraid of stepping back to school? Any teachers? Thank you, Lord, you see every fear, every anxiety, and right now we cast it upon you. Those that fear death, I pray you'll give them a revelation. You'll help them to see Jesus, his strength and his power, his authority, but also his grace. So, Lord, I commit every person to you. Pray you'll bless them, keep them. Your perfect love will cast out all fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we love you. We want the best for you. Keep tuning in. Keep listening to Jesus. Keep filling your heart with his word.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.